Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the program. This is the Midnight Garden. My name is Mudto Sasquatch. I am your friendly and humble host. And friendly and humble, I think those both apply. Cynical as well. Is it possible to be cynical and humble at the same time? I think it is, and it's my show, so we're going to let it. We're going to let that. Hold. It is a. It's a lovely night here in my large city in the Midwest. The weather's been threatening all day, but we didn't really get any rain. We're getting a nice, fresh breeze, which is keeping the temperature down. I'm sitting. I found, as you might have noticed, I found a quiet place to do the show this evening. Sitting in my car in the parking lot at McDonald's, where I have just enjoyed a sausage egg McMuffin in preparation for the show, get me pumped up, get the carbs flowing, and I'm ready to do just the most splendiferous show I have ever done. So you can look forward to that. I do have to just let you know, since this is a telephone show, meaning I'm calling in on the telephone. To do it, I don't have access to my computer, so I don't have access to the studio software. Therefore, I don't have access to the list of callers. Therefore, I can't answer any phone calls. So sorry about that if I do happen to get any today. What happens is I get a list. I don't see any of you who are listening to the program on the internet. I don't see you. Any of you, obviously, who listen to the archive later on, I don't see you either. I see you if you call in on the guest phone number. And there's a list that appears on my screen, and there's a number of phone numbers, and so there's a little icon. There's supposed to be a little icon. I have trouble seeing it, which tells me whether you want me to talk to you or not. I mean, some people are just there listening. They don't want to talk to me. Other people, you know, do want to talk on the air, so I click on that. We talk. I don't often speak to people on the air, first of all, because I don't often get called. I very often get wrapped up in myself. And also, I don't really particularly like talking on the phone. So it's something I kind of avoid. But sometimes the mood strikes me and I see a call has been very patient and waiting for a long time. I will go ahead and click on that little icon if I can manage to see it. And many times, more often than not, really, it's resulted in something really good. So I think I should be more open-minded about taking phone calls. And so I will make that commitment to you now, here and now, that I will be more open-minded about taking phone calls. Although tonight, it makes absolutely no difference because I can't take phone calls. I don't really know what the audience is like anymore either. We used to get separate reports on the audience for each show, but we don't get that anymore. They're all kind of lumped together. We also don't have nearly the numbers we have for the whole group of people on Blog Talk. Just one of those things, I guess. We were hot for a while. We were the flavor of the month, and now not so much anymore. But that's okay. It's not about the numbers. It's about the people who are supposed to be here are here, and we will serve those people. Another thing that you're going to miss today is those wonderful, the wonderful intro and the break. I don't know what you call those, just break little things you play at the break that Iggy made me. New ones for the show. I can't play those either because I'm on the phone. I don't have my computer. So perhaps next week, maybe the trade-off is I have to be in a noisy bar in order to have the Wi-Fi that's necessary to make those things happen. I was going to do the show from the parking lot at the hospital where I do some day work because I had to go there today. And I worked the whole day, but it was like a 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon thing. And if I was going to actually do the show from there, I was going to have to wait for like 9 hours. And I don't want to wait for 9 hours. I went home, I got a nap. I woke up, called my mother, and got a shower, got a little something to eat, and I'm ready to face the Midnight Garden audience, whatever it may be. So here I am. Where do we start? I received a communication from, should I say who it's from? Why not? It's since he may be actually be the only person out there. Probably my most devoted fan is my cousin JR, and he had noticed something which I thought was very interesting. And I mean this, and JR, you're listening. I know you're listening. I don't mean, you know, this is, I'm not mad. I told you I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I found this, and you made many great observations. I'm just pulling out this one that, you know, like 20 minutes, you know, it's a half an hour show. And outside of that, JR has encouraged me to do a longer show. They said 20 minutes of the show is seems to be basically me getting my footing. I just talk about a lot of things that have been happening, you know, in my life that are just sort of very, very narrow and specific to me, and probably not terribly interesting to other people. And then in the last 10 minutes, as I start to get into it, I start to like burn some of that other stuff off. I'll start saying things that are interesting in the last 10 minutes, and then the show's over. So I don't know about making the show longer, but I can be mindful. I've always tried to be mindful, but depending on the week, it's not as easy some weeks as others. It might not be as easy this week. But to be mindful of where I'm sort of straying off the path of you know, saying, I've always said, I say as I speak as the Spirit directs me to speak, and pray that my intentions align with those of the Spirit. And if I'm just here grousing about how dissatisfied I am with my life, that I don't think that really is doing any, either of those things. So I could be more mindful of what I'm just starting to talk about me, and I'm not talking about connections with the universe or sort of forward thinking, and I guess with a moderate dose of cynicism, because I just can't help myself. But so yes, I will. I do thank you, JR, for those observations, and I will. Endeavor to, how should I say it? I'm very welcome. I'm very open to any suggestions for making the show better and more accessible to people who are listening to it. So that's what I want to do, and I'll do my best. And please hang in there with those comments. I had a very excellent Facebook conversation with JR this afternoon. I don't see him nearly enough. I need to get out to the northern part of our state and see him and his family. He said he was taking his taking his brother for his weekly roller skating pilgrimage, and that's been an event for many, many years, and I'm very glad to hear that's still going on. I could very easily slide me into a discussion of all the things, you know, happening here in my city that I've loved for years and that are going away. But see, I'm not going to do that, because I've been alerted that takes me in a direction that's probably not a good one for the show, and probably not a good one for me. I mean, there's definitely a therapy element to the show. There's definitely, especially since I'm officially between therapists again. And I find, you know, it's just a lot of talking, kind of like the process we already went over. It seems like I have to for a while, just like burning leaves, I guess. I got to burn these piles of leaves and get them out of the way before I get to what I really need to talk about. I think the other part of that is that I don't really think about what I'm going to talk about, and my excuse has always been that I feel like the show is better when I'm more spontaneous. But I think perhaps there's a fair amount of bullshit in that explanation. So, yeah, let me think about it in different ways and put some pressure on myself to introduce more real content. In fact, I could start doing that now, as opposed to just continuing to talk about whether I'm going to do it or not. We had had a kind of a crappy day in the world today. I know I guess most of my love and light friends and most of my new age friends, probably say more the new age friends than the love and light friends, would say there's no such thing as a crappy day. I think today is a crappy day. We had more violence. more finger pointing related to the violence. And it just points up to me the increasing degree of polarization that's happening, I mean, in the world, but I think in our country too. I'm in the car and I bumped something. It seems that we used to, trying to avoid statement of the obvious one-on-one here, but maybe you got to start with the obvious. It seems that at one time we knew better ways to solve these things, or maybe we didn't. We, as a people, we always prided ourselves as a culture, as the culture of America, we always prided ourselves on our propensity for compromise. And compromise in that context was thought of as good. Now we can have this compromise and then we can continue. And you know, everybody, this is the way it was taught to me in school. Not everybody gets everything they want, but everybody gets something and we can move on. You know, we aren't just stuck. And one might say we suffer at this point from a lack of compromise, a lack of willingness to compromise, and that compromise is coded as weakness, that you can't compromise in the face of the enemy. And whereas the enemy in the past has always been somebody, you know, overseas or some foreign power, today the enemy is, you know, the people across the aisle from you in the center of the house. And you must, we must, whatever side it is on we're on, we must get everything that we want. And or we will be pushed aside. The other side will surely get everything they want if we don't get everything that we want. And there's a time, according to history, according to the history that we've been taught, that in our America that wasn't the case. And we're told about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House. For most of the time, Ronald Reagan was president. He was Democrat, Reagan obviously Republican. And that they were able to find middle ground and make progress on a wide variety of issues. The kind of progress that seems unthinkable now. Today, the only way of making progress, the only way that the logjam over the use of guns and the role of guns and who can have guns and what guns should be available, it seems the only way that can be solved is through conquest, for one side or the other to win the absolute control, 67% in the Senate and control of the White House, and a majority in the House of Representatives that would be required to pass a sweeping bill that would, from the Democrats' point of view, it went to probably ban the guns, impose stronger penalties for selling them illegally, impose longer waiting periods, filling out the questionnaires, whatever it is that's being discussed that would be done. And on the other side, allow absolute access to any firearm, suspend the waiting periods, put armed guards in school or arm the teachers, anything, whatever it is that they want, their entire prescription. That the entire, what is the word? There's a word for, it's done in Europe sometimes, it's vote, where you have a list of propositions, and there's list one and list two, and you have to pick one or two. It's not cafeteria style. Compromise is cafeteria style. We get to, okay, we can do this, you can do that, and it is argued now, and I think it's probably been argued in the past, that the cafeteria style doesn't work. That everything just cancels itself out, and you just end up sitting in the mud with nothing nothing accomplished, just kind of stuck. So that comes up to the argument of sort of the imperial presidency and the imperial Congress, if there is such a thing. It sounds like something Emperor Palpatine was in charge of. But the law and order and strong leadership is what's often argued for. The way you clean up any problem is to just find one entity or even one person and hand them all of the responsibility and say, okay, go ahead and clean this up. And what has happened, I think you know where I'm going here, is once the problem is cleaned up, that strong entity or that strong person doesn't want to go away. They want to stay and continue to run everything, and often they need to be liquidated at a high cost in manpower or in the lives of young people who are sent to destroy this person's militia that they've built around them. And ironically, that's an argument that's used in support of those who interpret the Second Amendment as being your absolute right to guns, is that someday we will need to fight our government in just that way. I used to call it the Red Dawn fantasy. That's not really accurate, because in the Red Dawn they were fighting a foreign enemy, not their own government, but I think the same thing applies. This idea that lovable freedom fighters from rural America will go get their guns and fight off the far superior foreign power. I seem to remember, I never saw the new one, but I seem to remember in the old Patrick Swayze one that the Red Dawners lost. But I do remember there was a lot of very heavy kind of narrative in Red Dawn. And one part was they were going to execute one of their friends because they found out he had been spying. And the voice of reason, kind of the same kind of voice as the kid, what was his name? Piggy. The kid Piggy in Lord of the Flies. This is the voice of reason. This one person was reason. So what makes us, if you shoot him, what makes us any better than them? And Patrick Swayze in this wonderful over-the-top moment, because we live here. That's my enduring memory of Red Dawn. And then Powers Booth, the only reason I knew who he was because it was in a TV show where he played Mike Hammer. I think it was Mike Hammer or someone else. But anyway, this whole string of consciousness has just gotten way out of hand. We're talking about compromise in social and political, the lack of compromise, the death of compromise, really. The compromise is talked about as a panacea. You know, we were so great when we had compromise, but there have been, I think, compromise can be dangerous in some ways too. As I was saying about the possibility of of taking the cafeteria style too far, and taking too many column A and two from column B and number four from column A and the mixture just doesn't make any sense. You just have things that are kind of working against each other and it doesn't work. Sometimes compromise serves to just kick the can down the road. We think we solved the problem with compromise, but all we really did was create another problem for us that we're going to have to solve later on. And was that the Missouri Compromise, something we learned about in school. Is something that leaps to mind there. That rather than solve the issue of the distribution of senators between slave states and free states, was that the Missouri Compromise or was that the Kansas-Nebraska Act that I'm thinking of, where they just decided randomly to make certain states slave and free. Or, just based on the only consideration, it didn't make any sense as far as geography or what the commerce was going to be in the states. It was just done so that they could keep an equal number of free senators and slave senators. And I may have misstated that. And I didn't do my research, which is usually what happens. But there was a thing that happened in the history in the 1850s that's often quote. I remember Miss Gorsuch, my American history teacher. She has, and I think J.R. was there for this too. It'd be neat if J.R. could, I wouldn't be able to see it because I'm on my computer, but he can make a comment to me. And I wouldn't be able to see email, though. I don't know if you know the mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Well, no, I wouldn't. That's not programmed in my phone. I'll have to do that. Next week, I'll program that into my phone so that if you wanted to email me at that address, and while I'm doing the show on the phone, I think I could get those and still remain. Might be awkward to read an email while I was talking on the phone. I don't have that much experience with my with this this fancy smartphone thing, but I think that would be possible to do. And then I would actually be able to communicate with people when I don't have that computer. So I think that would be good. But as I started to say, we had there's American History Class. We're talking about the issues, you know, starting from Dred Scott case. I think that was the first one, and moving up, and then finally there was the there was, you know, the Civil War started and there was an explosion. And we had created, J.R. and I were in a chemistry class, and along with some other people and the teacher, of course, making sure we didn't blow everything up. We had a paint can and we pumped it full of gas from the Bunsen burner. And then you light it and you let the gas burn off. And as it's just like slowly simmering, and when you reach that perfect, you know, the perfect combination of gas and oxygen, that's, you know, that's the perfectly balanced equation, where it's just all gonna, it all goes at the same time when you hit that perfect ratio of gas and oxygen inside the can. And so that was the idea. They put the Miss Gorsuch would wad up pieces of paper, and they would be the issues, you know, the Dred Scott and the Missouri Compromise and the Kansas-Nebraska Act and these various other things. She would just put these on top of the can, and then eventually the can popped, you know, and the top came off, and all the wadded up pieces of paper just scattered in all directions. And a visual aid, fun stuff. That was actually an amazing class we had with Mr. Brubaker and about six of us who wanted to just, we were going through school and they had just changed our high school to 4 years from 3 years. And we were the first class to go through for 4 years, and they didn't have a fourth year science class. So Mr. Brubaker made one up for us and was just doing basically whatever he could think of to do. And we did a lot of going around to elementary schools and doing science presentations. We ruined the upholstery in another teacher's car once, but, you know, while we were transporting all this stuff and something fell over. It's I remember that as being such a liberating experience, you know, being up in front of people. I've always loved being up in front of people. And yet, at least at that point, it didn't inspire me to do something like teach. I did teach later out of necessity. I needed to have a job. But one would think that that kind of – it's going to ding here in a second. Hold on. Yeah, there we go. That kind of I just remember that being such an absolutely joyful experience. And I would have thought that that might have influenced me in a direction, but it didn't. And I, as far as I can recall, it didn't. As far as I know, it didn't influence any of the other people who were in there. I don't think any of them became teachers. Trying to remember exactly who they were trying to see the faces. And that's mysterious to me, especially since I'm so easily influenced. Yeah, I see something that looks fun, and that's okay, I'll do that. but then I have this curmudgeon side of me that kicks in, and I say, well, I think of about 1,000 reasons not to do it. But I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of that experience in years. And we remember we were one of our educational activities was we cleaned out the supply closet and reorganized it, and we were putting, because this made perfect sense to us, we were putting the chemicals back in alphabetical order. You can't do that because, you know, you could end up with chemicals next to each other that shouldn't be next to each other. You have to have the kind of the acids in one place, the bases in another place, the reagents in another place. So we hadn't been properly trained, you see. But once we were, I think we did a much better job. And that was fun to see him come in, the teacher come in, Mr. Brubaker, go, what? But we fixed it. We fixed it, and it was all hunky dory. We tested somebody. This was Mrs. Gorsuch again, if I remember right. Someone put sugar in her gas tank, which is a crappy thing to do. But he managed to obtain a sample from her gas tank, and was teaching us. We had to do some research to find out what could we do on the bench in the lab to figure out if it was sugar or something else that was in the gas tank. And of course, you're not supposed to pipette by mouth. You know, we were sucking the gasoline up into the test vessel. Of course, we were all pipetting by mouth, and I managed to get about a half a mouthful of gasoline that day. And I can't remember how it came out, but there was, again, just a pure joy in it. Remember, I can go back even to, I think it was seventh grade, and there was a parents' night, and they came to school, and my friend Jenny and I, and Jenny is the dispatcher for the local police in our hometown now. But we got up during the asked our teacher, Mr. Chuka, if we could go use the balances, and again just to go out there and do it. I mean, thinking back on it, it must have looked like it had been set up. At some point, you two get up and go ask if you can use the balances. But you know, it's pure your curiosity. We wanted to do it, and I mean that has. Actually, that could have had a lot of applications. You know, where I'm living now, I know a couple of people in my apartment who probably have balances and use them frequently. But there's so much. There's such a huge chasm between the way I felt about life then and the way I feel about life now, and I can't just be. I don't think that's you know, it's just something that happens in life. You get old and you start to lose your joy in life. I think I lost it. I misplaced it somewhere. Or it could have something to do with what we've been talking about through the whole show, which is compromise. But I didn't do what I wanted. I didn't take that opportunity. There were other things I thought about doing, too. I think I've mentioned in the show before that I wanted to go to technical school and learn how to use a television camera and then and a mixing board, and then just go to a television studio somewhere and work my way up. And my greatest aspiration would have been to be the producer at the evening news. And I was told, parents told me, counselors told me, principals told me, teachers told me that I was just, that was just way too far beneath me. And I needed to do a, 4-year degree and become something important. And I did, and it's not what I wanted. And I still think back to that thing that I wanted when I was 18 years old, and I reached for that. And it's just the distance is impossible, and it's at least in part because of the compromise I made. Isn't it nice? Isn't that cool how those two things fit together before the end of the show? So I'm going to leave now because I've just gotten my 60-second warning from Blog Talk. I want to thank you for listening. Again, get in touch with me on lebtosasquatch@gmail.com, and I promise I will start checking that. And if you like, come back next week and hear more stuff. Once again, thanks for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.